Alrighty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House. My name is Tim Hetty, and I've got my good friend Rod Fox over here. How's it going, Rod?
Tim, it's doing wonderful. Thanksgiving weekend, it was 70-something degrees, and then all of a sudden the cold front come through, and boy, don't you just love Iowa weather?
I love Iowa weather. I love Iowa anyways. You know, what a great place to be. I mean, it's centrally located. It's easy to get around in. You ever go to, like, even like the Quad Cities? You ever really, truly try to get around in the Quad Cities? You know, everybody's dead ends and, you know.
Follows the river.
Right. You know. I mean, you can get from our shop, which is on the farthest northern point of Des Moines, all the way to the south side of Des Moines through town in 20 minutes. And, you know, you just can't ask for anything better. So, you know, do I love it? Yes, I do. I think Iowa is probably the greatest place on earth.
But, you know, in thinking about the weather, we know, I mean, Thanksgiving already, can't believe 2012 is about to come to an end. We know that the snow's going to fall. Well, at least somebody's saying the snow's going to fall. We haven't quite seen it yet.
I'm hoping for a lot of snow this year.
Yeah, me too. Because we know with snow melt comes the moisture that we so desperately need.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, we haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, and we're in the waterproofing business at Midwest Basement Systems, and I was amazed at how much waterproofing we actually did this year.
I mean, that is true. I've done a lot of inspections in homes where, you know, the basements were wet, and you walk outside, and it's the middle of August, and, you know, we haven't seen rain since April. And but yet, you know, soil conditions and topographical layout.
Yep.
The basements are getting.
You always get that one or two gully washer a year. It doesn't make any difference. Yeah. You know, I mean, those are the only ones you remember anyways, because that's when my basement flooded.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And I will caution people that, you know, dry weather, think about your sump pump. There's a lot of rubber seals and mechanisms in this sump pump. It's very rough on a sump pump not to get used.
That's correct.
And this seems almost backwards what I'm going to say. But it's time to have your sump pump checked by Midwest Basement Systems because, you know, the check valves, all it is a little rubber door in there with a washer bolted on the top.
Yep.
And as the water rushes through it, it opens that door. Well, that door gets stiff.
Mm-hmm.
And if it breaks off of there, then you've got this thing flapping around in there, and it can actually cut off the water.
Right.
And that's not good either.
And depending on the type of pump that you have, if you you know, unfortunately have one of those mercury diaphragm switches, you know.
Very rough to not be used.
Yeah. I mean, talk about your lower end, lower quality type of sump actuated switch.
Right.
That rubber diaphragm actually becomes very rigid over time.
And let me real quick explain what that is, because you know, the term rubber diaphragm switch, if you're not in the business, I doubt you'd know what that is.
Yeah.
But in a sump pump, keep in mind your sump pump sits about 3 feet under the surface of the basement floor. And as water accumulates in this pit, in the sump pit, it builds up a little bit of pressure. And we're not talking about very much. I mean, we're only talking about maybe a couple feet of water before it actuates the pump. So as the pressure builds up, there's just a little diaphragm inside of a switch. And as that diaphragm basically bends in, it actuates the switch, and it turns the pump on. The pump pumps the water outside.
Right.
And, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, there's silt and sediment that gets – and, again, this switch is typically sitting at the bottom. If you don't have a professionally installed sump system, you know, a lot of times what a contractor will do is there's a little bit of gravel at the bottom of the pit, or gravel will – you know, pea gravel will wash in from where the tiles – around the footing, come into the sump pit. So your sump pump is sitting at the lowest point, and you know, dirt
hopefully.
And dirt and sediment will actually collect around that, because that's a little heavier than just standard water, so it may not actually have come up through the pump when the pump was on. But as that sediment builds up around that that diaphragm, Tim's exactly right. It does become more difficult to turn on over time.
Right.
And, you know.
So then the water has to get deeper and deeper within that sump pit to actuate the pump.
Right.
And that's not a good thing.
No. And then there's, you know, those float ball tethered switches that have a mercury switch in them also.
Yep.
They can become, you know, lodged alongside the pump and the pump liner. And, you know, it takes a lot more water pressure to actually pop that little float up. Recommend those types of pumps. We want to use one that is a tethered float switch that actually has a single bar It looks much like, you know, if you took the tank lid off of your toilet, you're going to see a tethered float switch in there that just rises and lowers, you know, on a single bar. It's the most accurate,
most reliable,
reliable, risk-free way of getting your pump to actuate.
Doesn't make any difference what kind of pump you use. It is a mechanical device, and just like your car, the engine is not going to last forever.
Correct.
That's all there is to it.
Correct.
The good news is that Midwest Basement Systems is here for you. All you got to do is call. You know, because really, unless you're in this business, unless you're a plumber or unless you're in the basement waterproofing business, how do you really know?
Right.
I mean, you know, my dad's a really smart guy. I was there a few weekends ago and looking at his sump pump, and it was a piece of junk.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was a cheap pump when it was installed 15 years ago.
Right.
You know, and he lives out of town. Otherwise, you know, our service guy would have just went over there. And I said, hey, Dad, you know, I mean, come on. Well, what's wrong with this pump? You know, he honestly just didn't know. He's not in business. He didn't know.
Yeah.
So I recommended, you know, what kind of pump to get, you know, just how to put it in and everything. And, you know, even though he's a elderly fella, he can easily do it on his own.
Yeah.
And, you know, most people can. Or, you know, if you just don't want to, you want to have everything just checked out, you know, you may not even need a new pump. So, well, we've got a fully staffed service department at Midwest Basement Systems.
Absolutely. And like I said, when we're talking about having a service check, it's not only the pump, it's cleaning the liner out, making sure that, you know, the line is going to actually discharge the water.
Right.
You know, if you don't have our waterproofing system in, recommendations are going to be made to assure that you don't have one of these discharge lines freeze up during the wintertime and cause your sump pump to continue to run and
there's
water
so
to get in your basement.
There's so many things that can fail.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's, I really don't know what our service department charges, but I think it's less than $100.
Yeah.
Just to come out and check things over.
Yeah.
They can come check your pump, go through all this stuff, make recommendations. You know, you're not obligated to buy anything, obviously.
Right.
But, you know, how would you like that? Your basement was flooded and somebody comes in and says, oh, yeah, you know, for about $100, I probably could have eliminated this problem for you.
Yeah, that's typically what we find is those people, you know, people are less proactive. You know, we stress it to our customers, so we have a lot of our customer base is obviously involved in the annual service program. But don't think of this kind of thing as something that can just wait. You know, you don't want to be reactionary. Reactionary means that something catastrophic has happened. You know, we have a guest in the studio who had to have some reactionary work done this last year. We'll kind of poke fun at him here in a little bit about it. But the idea, I mean, it was reactionary because of a situation that happened, but not typically a sump pump issue. What I'm going to say is that don't wait, you know, for that pump to go out and say, well, I've got a battery backup. You know, the battery backup is emergency use only. And if you don't have the kind of system that we install, hands down, you are at risk. You know, I've seen so many of those battery backup systems that people buy from one of the box stores, and they don't know how to operate it. Maybe somebody else installed it.
Right.
You know, I opened up a battery case one time and found a little motorcycle battery in there.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was a full size, you know, car battery size case. And then I lifted it up and opened it up, and in sat this little 12 volt, you know, motorcycle battery, which I laughed at.
And let's face it, you know, not everybody is an expert at these things. I mean, you know, sure, we have ideas and we try them and they don't work. You don't need to do trial and error. And I'll say another thing. I would almost think this particular year that we've had more rain this fall than we had in the spring.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not more, it's close. Okay.
Yeah.
So if anybody doesn't think that this stuff is important in the fall and the wintertime, you know, they're wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can, we are here on this show to help you get a cleaner, drier, safer, healthier, and more energy efficient home.
Yeah.
That is our goal here. We're not particularly here to produce business for Midwest Basement Systems.
No.
And believe me, the service department at Midwest Basement Systems, since I do the books, I know this.
Yeah.
Not exactly a profit center.
No, but the goal of any service department, you know, should be, whether it's our existing customer or someone who wants us to come out, is to be able to find the problem before the problem finds them.
Right, exactly.
That's the whole thing. You know, anybody in the service-related industry, you know, that's why, you know, if you know, we've had Roger on from Shaw Heating and Cooling.
Yeah,
running
absolutely.
20
really
service. Yeah, running 20 service guys. The reason for it is A, they're doing reactionary because, you know, people's things break down.
Right.
But B, to be more proactive because, you know, who wants to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and find out their furnace went out when they, you know, had they done a more proactive approach, you know, this issue wouldn't have happened.
You know, and that's so important to have everything checked. If your furnace or air conditioner goes out, the temperature of your air changes, obviously, and depending on what time of the year it is, whether or not it's even an emergency.
Yeah.
If your sump pump goes out, man, and your basement starts flooding, it is an emergency. And I don't care what kind of insurance you have, how great your insurance is, believe me, you'd rather not go through that situation.
Yeah.
So, you know, easy enough, and we're not going to harp on this the whole show. I don't even think we intended to talk about this. I don't even know how we got on the subject.
But if you're if we've piqued some interest, give us a call at 515-289-1606 and ask about our annual service program.
Yeah, it's not very expensive, and pumps are not very expensive. Even if the service guy comes out and discovers that you need all new pumps, it's not that expensive.
That's exactly right.
We'll be right back with more Around the House. So don't. Alrighty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House, and as promised, we have a really great guest this week, and he is from Midwest Basement Systems. He
That's
is
right.
our marketing director.
Backed
by popular demand. Tom Henderson, how's it going?
It's going very well. Glad to be back.
And Tom, I really, of course, you and I have been good friends for many, many years.
Many years.
Before you ever came to work for Midwest Basement Systems. And a little bit of your background, you worked in the marketing area, or I wouldn't say marketing, you worked for the, in the Yellow Page industry.
I worked in the Yellow Page industry, yes.
And you fended off my offers for you to come to work for Midwest Basement Systems for many, many years and made me wait. And as a result, you know, I had to wait many years for your expertise. And until you discovered that the Yellow Page industry might be fundamentally flawed.
I heard the term jump the shark.
It may just have no future. I don't know.
That industry is stagnating at best.
Yeah, at best. As a matter of fact, we've discovered at Midwest Basement Systems over the last few years that, you know, the people that are seeking us out just don't come from the Yellow Pages. And if they do go to the Yellow Pages, it's more of a piece of reference material that they're finding our phone number. They already know about us. Most people, I think, Google us, don't they?
Yeah, most of the people Google us. It's interesting that in the old days that you would, as a business owner, you know, the Yellow Pages would drive business to you. Now it seems like if you've got a little bit of awareness out in the community that you exist, you're actually now driving business to the Yellow Pages. And you're right, it's a piece of just reference material. They're looking for your name and phone number.
Well, look at the next generation. I mean, and you've got your oldest child, your daughter, is the same age as my oldest daughter.
Correct, yeah.
And 18. Both of which are 18 and just God love them. But, and I'll leave it at that. But anyways, but they wouldn't even know what to do with a phone book. You know, as far as looking things up in, say, an encyclopedia or a phone book or something like that, it's kind of almost a lost art, you know, to have to get in there and everything's alphabetized and, you know, they just get on their smartphone and Google something. And
Their information that they can find with the device that just simply sits in their hand is amazing. They can get directions, they can get names, addresses, phone numbers, and that's how they navigate. They don't navigate through the phone directory or print materials.
Right. And, you know, this has been going on for a while. I can remember one time a few years back, my two girls wanted to go to a movie. So it's okay, you know, go get the phone book and call over there and get the movie. You know, remember how we used to have to do it?
Sure.
You call over and there's a recording and it tells you all the what have you and everything. And
showtimes, information.
Yeah. And they look at me like I got three heads, you know. So I'm like, okay, well, you know, hand me the phone book. And I'm sitting there trying to look up the Springwood Nine Theater in Ankeny. And by that time, one of them has the schedule pulled up on their phone and shows it to me. I think we can make this one, Dad. You know, it's like, okay, well, times they are changing. And that is the next generation.
It is the next generation.
And even the older generations. I mean, my parents. My mom's got a smartphone, I think a Droid, I'm not sure. And my dad's got an iPhone. So
yeah, and Tom and I have, you know, Tom's put on several different meetings where he has shown a YouTube video, and part of that is it talks about social media, and one of the most interesting things is that most kids now do not know what life was like without the internet, and then what they also have termed is called BG before Google. You know, because nice. Google searches are, you know, kids nowadays have, you know, we're talking about the Yellow Pages and you know, using a phone book, you know, they don't know how to do this, but all they've ever known is a Google search, you know. So, I mean, I equate it to, if you remember what a rotary dial phone is, then you know what a Yellow Page book is like. You know, if you don't know what or have never used a rotary dial phone, you'll never know probably how to use the Yellow Page.
Right. So. You know, I was going to get rotary dial phones and install them in my house, you know, just as like a joke to my two daughters.
Couldn't find them, huh?
And no, you can find them and everything. That's not the issue. But then it occurred to me, why bother?
Yeah,
because they all have, I could not tell you what my home phone number is. As a matter of fact, I don't think most of the time the phone is even plugged in. I think we have it for the internet service.
Most people don't have home phones anymore. We're finding right. that out at the office with customers calling in, that it's all mobile devices. Nobody has a home phone.
Well, you know, times are changing.
Yeah.
And, you know, from the marketing standpoint, you know, and it doesn't matter what if you're trying to fix somebody's home, if you're a service industry that's trying to fix somebody's home, you know, it's around the house, so it doesn't matter what the industry is. But there's a new pipeline coming through, and we have to be able to speak and talk to those people. And those people that are coming up and coming through are not looking for you in the Yellow Pages. They're just not.
You know, what I found to be very interesting, and I have worked closely with our internet developers, as I know Tom has as well. You know, the way that we search for things, the search terms, okay? Now, we've always been in the waterproofing and the foundation headings in the phone book, you know, and over the years, I mean, it's just a horrible tapering off. I mean, the effectiveness of the dollar spent in the phone book. But believe it or not, the search terms that are being used on the internet are nowhere close.
Right.
I mean, they're just – people don't – they don't put in a term like waterproofing. They put in terms like, you know
– how do I get my basement dry?
Yeah. Wet socks. I mean, yeah. You know, things like that. They put in – terms they're searching. We're searching in different ways nowadays.
Yeah.
You can almost, you know, my phone. I have an Android phone. I'm not promoting either one. I don't care what people have, but I've even got a button on there that you can push and then just talk a phrase in there, and then Google will search the thing.
Right.
And Tom, what is the percentage? I know you didn't come on this show to talk about this, but mm-hmm. what is the percentage of mobile searches as opposed to searches on your home computer nowadays? Because it's getting more lopsided, isn't it?
It is getting more lopsided. As it pertains to a national statistic, I'm not sure. As it pertains to us at Midwest Basement Systems, 58% of the searches come through on a mobile device, which, you know, is quite substantial compared to the amount of time that people actually sit in front of a computer. And have a laptop or have a desktop. You know, they're looking for us through that mobile device.
Yeah, it's. I think the last statistic I saw was like 62% are done on a mobile device now searches.
That's crazy.
Yeah, reference searches. But what's even more is in 2011, I believe, Tom, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that more smartphones were sold than home laptops or home computers.
No, that is correct. No, it took a giant surge.
Yeah, and the reason for it is because of the ability for people to have internet access instead of, you know, now I sit at home and if we're going to search something, I do it on my smartphone instead of going over to my home computer.
I'm going to over-exaggerate just a little bit, but there was a period of time, and everybody's seen the movies where these big, giant, tall racks were, and they saw these, looked like the reel-to-reel discs,
yep.
and they, mm-hmm. these were giant computer rooms that, mm-hmm. that had elevated floors, and they were environmentally controlled, and they only had so much capability, and in most cases, what we hold in our hand has all the capability of rooms that used to be devoted for computing.
Yeah, they said that in the movie, I went down to NASA, and they said that the computers it took to do the Apollo missions could now be handled on a single laptop computer. All of the computer computations and all of the people that ran, you know, those computers for everything that happened to get an Apollo mission to the moon and back could be handled on a single laptop computer now. That's amazing to me.
That is amazing.
I mean, that's scary. And, you know, it's the way technology is going, and Tom and I have talked about this, and it's not just like a doubling of ability or technological advances. It's propagating itself so much faster. It's not like, hey, we're twice as smart as we were last year. We may be 10 times smarter than we were last year, and next year we may be 20 times smarter based on the information on how technology advances itself.
Well, those guys that are designing this stuff, I mean, think about it. They're doing a great job, but somebody has to think this stuff up first. I mean, you know, God rest his soul, Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
What a genius. I mean, I don't know if all these ideas came from him or his staff. I would have to say a lot of them came from him because the ideas kind of shut off as soon as he died. But,
yeah.
It's just somebody has to think this stuff up before it can actually happen.
Well, it's going to be Skynet and Terminator all over.
You know? Terminator 2, the greatest movie of all time, except for Rambo, probably.
Yeah.
But So times are changing, and we have to be able to roll with the changes. And
it would be interesting if our listeners would somehow get us the information of how they search for things. It would be an interesting study.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I don't know how you would do that, though.
I don't know how we'd do it, but it'd be interesting.
But you come from that industry where the largest page, Yellow Page ad, used to be or carry with it, at least in my point of view, they must be the best. They had the biggest ad.
You know, we always used to shoot for having the biggest ad in there.
Yeah.
And actually, when Tom came on board at Midwest Basement Systems, he kind of shed a different light on it. You really don't want the biggest one in there. All you're doing is paying extra money.
Sure.
But he came, and that's one of the reasons I wanted him over so badly, is because he had this insight. He knew. Mm-hmm. How many calls people make out of the phone book, what they're looking at, what catches their eye, all this great stuff. And now it's all obsolete information because we don't care. The leads aren't coming from there. So,
thanks, Tom.
You're fired.
Thanks, Tom. Good having you here. Take care.
Took less than 12 months.
Yep. So anyways, when we come back from our break, we're going to talk about what I actually wanted Tom to come here and talk about. So don't go anywhere. Alrighty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House. And as we were talking to Tom Henderson, Tom is our marketing professional over at Midwest Basement Systems, and which is a very essential part of a business, any business, as far as I'm concerned, if you take it seriously. And people should know Midwest Basement Systems, you think about certain kinds of contracting, like the guy that does your driveway or the guy that does your roof. You almost think of them as a couple guys in an old truck, and they come up, they're lucky to have insurance and all this other stuff. Well, Midwest Basement Systems has about 50 employees. Mm-hmm. We've got a fully staffed office, a fully staffed service center. We've got a fully staffed production department. Rod, you're in charge of the sales department, mm-hmm. Which is fully staffed. I mean, it's just a very well-maintained operation. And part of that is marketing. We need leads, and we need to be able to do stuff right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, 50 people are out of
One of the things that I really like about Tom also is the fact that, like in the automotive industry, when they build a new car, they take that car and they do all kinds of performance tests on it, and then they do, they put the two crash test dummies in, and then they crash the car to determine, what things. And Tom, out of the goodness of his heart, wanted to actually kind of do some testing at his house to determine what the direction of water would go should you have a plumbing issue.
A second story plumbing issue, Tom.
Crash test dummy, but Tom did some testing at his house, and hey, how is that working out, Tom?
It's beautiful, but there was some comment earlier about nobody ever wants to go through that, and you might have insurance and you might have all those things, but the going through it. But I will tell you, though, that one of the things that we did learn in our research is that if you want to get water to flood your entire home, not just the basement, you don't want the water to leak from the basement, have it fill the basement, and start up towards the rest of the home. Oh no, no, no!
No, maximum
you don't want
effectiveness.
That. No.
Maximum effectiveness.
You want to start the flood from the uppermost level of the home and let it just cascade down through all of the other levels, then down into the basement. It's much more effective, and we found that to be the best way.
Hey, I've.
By the way, it did engage our sump pump.
Oh, nice. After it had gone through two finished floors, if you consider your time, if you consider your stress level worth anything, I've never understood you know, people, I hear this all the time, is, Rod, I know you do too. Well, I've got insurance.
I've got insurance.
Give me a break. You know, if, Tom, let me ask you this. If there was a $200 preventative fix that you could have done to your house before that happened, would you just have shelled out the money?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Because I know the stress that it's put on you. I know you and I have drank at least $200 worth of beer over this thing.
and then it spills out to the rest of the family, and it's just a stressful situation. Because your home, your domicile is all torn up and wet.
You guys even stayed in a hotel for a period of time over this, didn't you?
A couple of days, yeah, just to get through the worst of it. That is correct.
So, yeah.
Well, you know, kind of what you were saying, Tim, as far as these risk levels, you know, with that kind of mentality where somebody says, well, I've got insurance, well, then everybody should drive drunk and speed. I've got insurance.
Yeah,
I've
got insurance. What the
heck? Something's going to happen. I've got insurance, really. You know, the mentality you got
to
think
about. It never ceases to amaze me that people will put their laundry rooms now on the top floor of their house because it's closer to their bedroom.
Right.
Okay. To me, this is a ridiculous idea. And I live in a ranch-style house, and my wife insisted that our laundry room's on the main level instead of downstairs, where it actually should be, but whatever. I lost that battle, as most of us men do.
Yeah.
But if you look at, go to the hardware store and look at the package that washing machine hoses come in, somewhere on that package, it more than likely, the quality ones actually say to shut the water off between washes.
Every time.
I don't know one single person that does this, but that is what they say.
Yeah.
And some of it just depends on where the hose is. I mean, if it's in the upper level of a home, sometimes that shutoff valve, it's just not particularly accessible.
Right. It might be behind the, you know, if it, like ours is stackable washer and dryer, the shutoff valve is around behind.
Right.
Now we've got a shelf next to it with the dog food in front of it. You know, God bless you if you can get back there and reach those knobs.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
It's just something that's not going to happen.
And there's other things that people don't do. They don't call their city department, water department that they live in, and find out how many gallons per hour can be delivered to your home. And I've learned that in the city that I live in, well over 600 gallons an hour can be delivered directly to your home for your convenience.
We love the fact that you've gone through this intensive research and actually said, you know what, not only am I going to find out, I'm going to live through it.
And you don't want, when you do the testing, you don't want to test it for just an hour.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly how long were you gone?
Because that... And to coin a phrase, that wouldn't even get your feet wet, you know? So if you really want to do this, you need to be gone 5, maybe even, shall we say, 6 hours.
6 hours.
Then you take 6 times 600 gallons an hour, and then you can kind of get an idea of how many.
Let's just round it to 5,000 gallons. Would you say that's close?
That's close. That just poured and cascaded through the entire home. And got into everything. I mean, it's amazing. It got into the conduit. It got
ruined your furnace, didn't it, too?
It ruined the furnace. Somehow the water, you know, water will go wherever water wants to go. I mean, it does whatever it wants to do. And somehow or another, it got into the furnace and literally landed into the center, the guts, the heart of the furnace. It landed in there. And so we were shutting off the power because there were other things that were going to get fricasseed because of the water issue. I mean, it just went everywhere. It was amazing. And it was not a gully washer. Rain. It was not a basement issue. It wasn't any of those things. But I had water in my basement at the end of all this.
Yeah.
And enough water that as it ran over to the top of the sump pump, it leaked down into the pit, rose the float up that we were all talking about, and activated the pump.
Yeah. So your sump pump worked just fine.
Sump pump worked wonderfully.
Was your sump pump, if I'm not mistaken, it was installed by Midwest Basement Systems?
Sure.
Okay. Good. You probably
it worked. That was a good thing, so you didn't have a 5,000
gallon
pool.
But the point is the water came from the second floor, and it still, you know, if the water still needed somewhere to go, and if that pump wasn't working, it wouldn't.
You would have had a pool.
I would have had a pool in the basement.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's an unfortunate circumstance what happened. And again, we try and tell stories, you know, and we've done this for over 4 years now being on the radio. You don't need to learn some of these lessons yourself. You know, you can take some of the things that we've said, tell customers, hey, you know, this individual had to go through this experience before they actually thought, okay, now I need to have a battery backup or I need to waterproof my basement. I have to make this repair. So you can lower the risk of everything that you do in your home by taking preventative and proactive measures. I mean, that's when we talk about building science, we talk about things that you can do as a homeowner if you understand how your home works as a system. Crawl spaces. I mean, we could talk a day about
everything
crawl spaces.
Is a system.
It is. We're talking about foundation repair. Everything works if you understand how soil conditions can move and things like that. But you have to take a proactive approach at it to minimize the damage and the cost, because waiting is the most expensive thing you can do, to your pocketbook.
And not only do you need to think about this stuff as a system, you need to think of it as, is it a fully functional good system or a fully functional bad system? Like a crawl space you just brought up. Probably a horrible, horrible system in your house, but it is fully functional.
Yeah.
It is just producing horrible results that can easily be turned around. But, your furnace not working, I guess that's a system, but it wouldn't be a functional system.
That's absolutely
correct.
Or
you could think of it as a functional system. It's just producing bad results.
Right.
Right.
And so when we look at the types of repairs to be made, you want to make sure that you always look at the repair that is going to give you the lowest risk possible of ever having some kind of future damage or an expected result that you're looking at that can be achieved. Because I went to a customer's house the other night. They had street creep, which, was kind of an issue we can talk about later. But they had a guy who showed up in a truck. Both the back wall on the back side of the garage was actually pushing out, and he told them that he was going to core some dowels through the poured concrete wall, and he charged him $2,000 to do it, and he took a bucket of hydraulic cement and just filled the cracks and left. Now, how do you think that customer feels after now this is all opened back up? I was able to show them visually that there is no doweling, there was no repair made other than somebody smearing some hydraulic cement, which is what, 10, 15 bucks for a bucket of it?
Yeah, and,
at the most.
As far as street creep goes, what are you going to do? I mean, there's so many misdiagnosed issues out there when it comes to foundation repair, and we talk about this all the time on this show. Get more than one opinion. And I'm not even saying get Midwest Basement Systems' opinion and quit at that.
Yeah.
Get more than one opinion.
Absolutely.
And then if you can separate yourself from the price tag, most people can't, and for a good reason, whatever. But if it takes, say, $10,000 to fix a particular problem, and somebody comes in and says they can fix it for $1,000, the money, it's hard to separate yourself from that money issue. But the fact of the matter is, if they're doing something like you just described that is not fixing the problem,
this lady extremely distraught, $2,000 for, equated to maybe an hour's worth of time and a $15 bucket of hydraulic cement.
Right.
I mean, so.
Well, and
it's unfortunate.
Did the repair make sense to her to begin with, or did she take that because maybe somebody came in and said this is a $10,000 problem and she said she'd rather pay $2,000? Because we get that all the time.
Yeah, no, she was told that, they were going to tie – street creep didn't even come out of the person's mouth when they did the repair.
Hey, we got to get to another break real quick. We'll be right back with more Around the House. Alrighty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House, and we still have Tom Henderson on this show. I asked him to come on this show, and he could only be here for one segment. He was going to talk about what he needed to talk about, then get out because we got other stuff to talk about.
We just didn't tell him it was going to be the last segment.
He
was going to get to talk.
Actually, we're not going to talk about what we intended to talk about. So make sure you tune in next week if you have any settled concrete issues, like settled driveways, stuff like that, and tell your friends and neighbors if they've got the issue. They need to tune in next week because really important new stuff we're going to talk about. Anyways, when I hired Tom, the point that I was trying to get to before Tom interrupted me is...
and I might interrupt again here in just a moment.
Yeah. But when I hired Tom, when I finally convinced Tom to come over to Midwest Basement Systems, I told Tom, one of the things that's really important to me is to make sure that this company is a good member of our community. Okay, that's important to us. We're not here just for the money. I mean, it's not all about the money for us. And I showed him some of the things we do, some of the things, the charities we donate to, and the things that our core values at Midwest Basement Systems dictate that we do. And a lot of it's publicized on our website, Midwest Basement Systems. A lot of it isn't. Some of the stuff we truly feel is important, we may not put on there because, we're not doing it for a pat on the back.
Right.
Okay. We're doing it because we are in this community. We want our community to succeed. We want to make sure that we're lifting up the people that that need lifted up in our community. We don't believe that that's the government's job to do that. We believe it's the community's job to do it, and we take a proactive approach at that. So I showed Tom what we're doing, and he kind of took the ball and ran with it. He said, okay, good. I love all these charities that you're donating to, and we're going to take it a couple steps further. So, Tom, let me let you talk about a couple of the things that we're doing as we're getting into the holiday season.
Well, as you know, the last time I was here, we were working on a program for cystic fibrosis up in the Perry area.
Which, I think that went pretty well, didn't it?
Yeah,
it did.
You know, considering the day, they just got pounded with rain.
Really?
And yes, they did.
So the fishing tournament itself didn't turn out that well.
Well, it did. I mean, for the conditions, the people were troopers, and the things got raffled off. The event happened. It went off without a hitch. But we're back today. We're going to talk about two things. One is the Food Bank of Iowa.
And now, what is that?
It
for
is
those
a.
That don't know.
It is a gigantic food pantry. That is basically just down the street from us. We're on Northeast 17th. It's just down the street. It's on East 17th. But they house all kinds of things, canned goods, of course, dry products. But they also have a big freezing system, so they've got turkeys and chickens and meat and all kinds of things that are perishable foods, housed and ready to go for the needy, for people that need additional assistance or food to sustain life. So that program is working very well, and on their website, and this is from their website, and I'm sure they do the research. 1 in 8 Iowans are food insecure. I didn't realize.
What does that mean?
That they just don't always have enough food.
Okay.
1 in 5 Iowa children do not have enough food to eat regularly, and just slightly over 4,000 people. In Iowa, live in a way where, you know, meals come basically just hand to mouth day to day. They're not sure where the next meal is coming from.
Hmm.
So that's one thing that we can get involved in. We travel all over central Iowa, and we are now going to be a drop-off point for people that they can bring. For us, of course, we need to have non-perishable items dropped off at our facility because we don't have the refrigeration.
Yeah. Don't bring a loaf of bread, please.
Yeah.
So or a turkey.
Anything that's sealed, anything that doesn't have a particular expiration date, non-perishable foods, and we'll make regular deliveries. And we're doing that currently now through the end of the year, through December 31. So we're working with the Food Bank of Iowa in that regard.
So do you have the address of the food bank? If somebody had, you know, a turkey or
something that they wanted to donate,
what would they do with that?
They would need to take that directly to the Food Bank of Iowa. You know, and I didn't jot that address or phone number down. I'm sure we can find it.
Rod's looking it up on his smartphone.
We had talked about that earlier. So we'll have that in just a moment. But the other thing, and that program's been around since the 80s, the Food Bank of Iowa. So it's been a good program. It's grown as many things do. You know, I'm sure they started out very, very small in a very small space. And it's just exponentially grown over the years. And they've got quite a facility now. They've got a very, very large facility. And they have food in there. And the Food Bank of Iowa, if you want to take perishable items, it is at 2220 East 17th Street in Des Moines. And you can look them up on the web. You can find out all their information and find out how to deliver and what kinds of things that they will actually accept if necessary. Hmm. So it's a good program, and we're involved in it.
Okay. So, you know, bring if you want to drop the perishable stuff off to us, 5153 Northeast 17th Street, or if you have perishable stuff, 2220, is that what you said? Mm-hmm. East 17th Street, which I believe is south of Euclid.
Yes.
Okay. So, and, you know, we're not out to get some kind of pat on the back or award or anything like that. We don't need a ginormous truckload of stuff to take over there. So if you're closer to the food bank, go right over there.
Take it, but if you need to drop it off because you know where our facility is and it's easier to get to, drop it off with us. We'll be happy to take it over.
Yeah. So, and then the other program you were talking about
is Toys for Tots, which is coming up around the corner, the Christmas time. And it was a program started back with a Marine reservist. He was a major, Bill Hendricks. And interestingly, this was done back in 1947. It isn't a brand new program. Hmm. It was in the LA area, and the idea basically came from his wife. And just talk about the power of one person, the power of one idea, if you really believe in something. She made a doll by hand and said, "Here, go take this and deliver it to a needy place." And at that time, evidently, there weren't any organizations to deliver. So she said to her husband, as the story goes, "Well, why don't you create one?" And here we are, you know, 60 years later, right. We've got Toys for Tots. So the first year in 1947, they got 5,000 toys. And over the last 60 years, they have gotten 313 million toys nationwide. And the Marine Corps itself adopted the program. So not only just the reservists, but the full-time Marine Corps took that program 1 year later in 1948 and took it nationally. So there are many pickup points and many places to deliver toys. And we are one of them. You can deliver a toy to our offices, and we'll make sure that the Marine Corps gets in. Sometimes they'll come out and pick it up themselves.
Okay. So Midwest Basement Systems, again, bring your toys in. And I know last year, I mean, they had this big square box, and I know it was sitting out in the meeting room, and by the time it was over, I mean, this thing was heaping full. I think you had to take more than one trip, or did they stop over and get it?
Actually, at the end of it all, we had three boxes.
Really?
We had to get extra boxes, and the whole program was met with a lot of enthusiasm. So we had to get more boxes. So we took it down to them. There's only just so many Marines, and you know we are at war. So last year wasn't a good. They didn't have the manpower to come out and get it from us. So you can deliver either the food items. Or you can deliver the toys to our offices at 5153 Northeast 17th Street in Des Moines, Iowa.
Well, and I got to commend you for this, Tom, because, you know, all these things, like I say, when I sat you down and kind of explained our culture to you and, you know, how we want to conduct ourselves in the community, you did take it to the next step. I mean, there's these two programs. There's a multitude of other things that I know you're working on, too. And you usually put this stuff on our Facebook page, don't you?
We do announce things on the Facebook page. We put it on our LinkedIn page because business people need to be aware of what we're doing as well.
Yeah. And this is another reason why we need a guy like Tom, because I don't get it with Facebook. I have a Facebook page. I just don't understand why people, and my wife loves it, my daughters love it, they spend a ton of time on this Facebook page. I personally don't get it.
Yeah,
you know.
And there's millions and millions and millions and millions of people that do get it for some reason, and
over a billion, I think, now.
Yeah, they
people
on
Facebook,
and they and it is definitely social media, and we're still looking at how it works for us.
Yeah, and LinkedIn and
Twitter
and
Pinerest.
All this stuff.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff out there.
What was that other one you just said?
Pinerest.
I never even heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rod, have you heard of that?
No.
Do you have a Pinerest page?
I do not.
Okay. Well, I think you're doing a heck of a job. So, again, for the Food Bank of Iowa and for Toys for Tots, if you're in our area, just drop your stuff by 5153 Northeast 17th Street. We will take care of getting it over there.
We will. We'll be happy to do that for you.
I don't think we did the food bank thing last year, did we?
Or we did. We did.
That shows how much I know.
And it was very successful this year. It's going to be more successful. Absolutely.
Okay. So if you need to get a hold of us, we got about 30 seconds left. Just give us a call at 515-289-1606.
Or 800-556-5697.
Or just come on in, 5153 Northeast 17th Street, and we'd love to see you. We've got a great facility with a fully staffed office. We'll take you on a tour. Yeah,
absolutely.
No problem. I don't think people understand how much is going on there. So, anyways, we will talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.